Unfiltered Conversations Chai and Chat is a safe and open space for young adults to dive into real, unfiltered discussions about relationships, mental health, and everything in between. We're here to break the stigma, share experiences, and support each other through honest conversations over a cup of chai. We understand that some topics may be sensitive or triggering. If you need support, please reference our bio information.
Welcome back to Unfiltered Conversations, Chai and Chat, where we amplify the voices of South Asian youth and dive into the realities of our community. I'm Just, joined by my co-hosts.
I am Lynn.
I am Time.
And I am Hosey.
Today's topic is that many of us have encountered but don't always talk about openly. Gender expectations, sexuality, and queerness in South Asian spaces.
From how sons and daughters are treated differently to the struggles of being queer in a conservative community, there is a lot to unpack. And to help us with this conversation, we have a very special guest today.
We have today joining us for this episode someone who has their own experiences of what it's like being young, queer, and brown.
Would like to give a warm welcome to Simran Saini on Unfiltered Conversations, Chai and Chat. Simran is a policy and research professional working in population, queer, and sexual health. The connection to South Asia and being queer go hand in hand, and we're so excited to be here in conversation with you, Simran. Please give us a full intro. Would love to know more about your background, your pronouns, your queer identity, and everything.
Awesome. Thank you so much for the introduction and for creating the space. Y'all are so cool. Oh my goodness.
Thank you.
Like, the way I wish I had something like this when I was growing up, and then by virtue of saying that sentence, I'm like, wow, I now have just had my first, like, well, not my first, but one of my experiences of being like, oh wow, I'm old now. Am I young still? I'm 26. It's nice to be called young.
I mean, at least your frontal lobe's developed, you know?
Exactly. I think that would make for good decision making, but we'll see. We'll see. But no, thank you all so much. So a bit about me. So yes, my name is Simran. I use she, they pronouns. And when you hear someone say their pronouns, like, I think it can be a little bit different for each person in terms of how they kind of want you to interchange between those, because as you've heard, like, I use she and they, and those are different ones. Basically, for me, personally, I don't mind if you use she, her pronouns, or they, them pronouns. Both are fine for me. So that's kind of what I mean when I say that. Mm-hmm. I am a bisexual person. And for that, I guess what that means is that I am attracted to people of multiple different genders, I guess. And gender plays a role in how I guess I find myself to be attracted to people, but it's not like I'm attracted to someone of one gender, not necessarily another one. So that's how I kind of use that word for myself. I tend to describe myself increasingly as a them, a femme them, sorry. Mm-hmm. So I like the word femme as opposed to girl or woman, because I feel like it captures the fact that, like, when I walk around the world, people probably see me as quite feminine, and the way that I kind of interact with the world maybe aligns with stereotypical understandings of what it means to be feminine. But to me, like, I feel like gender is a really restrictive concept. And so I like the idea, like, the freedom that kind of comes with the idea of being femme, and that, like, while I'm performing my gender as quite femme, mm-hmm. most of the time, that's not like a limitation, you know? And and that's still something like an ongoing journey. In terms of my whakapapa, I am of South Asian ethnicity. I specifically am Indian, and my ancestry is, like, Goan, Maharashtrian, and Punjabi, which, the very odd, just, you know, makes for great conversation.
I bet.
And it's always great because people ask me if I can speak Hindi, and I was like, oh, honey, I can't speak any of the languages around in my household well, but I understand a fair bit of multiple languages. So I've got a population health and anthropology degree, and have been working in the population health and sexual health, queer health space the last couple of years, and it's just such an honor to be here. Yeah, that's a bit about me.
Thank you so much for being here today, Simran.
Now let's talk about queerness in South Asian spaces. There is often little to no support for young people who are questioning their identity or coming out.
And yeah, many queer South Asians feel isolated because of cultural expectations and family pressure. It's tough when you don't see acceptance within your own community.
That's why it's so important that we have guests like Simran who can share their experience and offer insight on how to navigate these challenges.
Okay, so Simran, we're going to ask you some questions that, please, can you answer? So the first question is, can you share what it's been like navigating your identity as a queer person in a South Asian family?
Sorry, bear with me, because I did not expect to be emotional, especially this early in the episode, but like, I think the core of it is, for me at least, is feeling really lonely.
Oh, yeah.
It's the kind of core experience that I feel with, or have felt my whole life, where I feel just completely like a sore thumb in the world. And like, I stick out like a sore thumb, I guess is the phrase, right? And confused a lot of the time because I have no, there's just not a lot of, to go on. Like, there's no foundations that I feel like make sense for my life. So that's been my main experience. I actually only really realized that I was bisexual in my early 20s. I was well into uni, and I considered myself like an ally for a really long time, and I was pretty passionate, but it wasn't until I saw two influencers who were South Asian and femme presenting. So they were like, they had like long hair, and they were like wearing like what we would think of as like women's clothes maybe, and I was just like, and they were in love, and they were showing off their relationship online, and part of me was like, wow, that has made me like happy inside in a way that I just have no idea where that's coming from. Mm-hmm. And frankly, I don't even know if it's because they're queer. Like, maybe it's just because I mean, seeing South Asian women happy and in love is also just something I don't see a lot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I had this journey. I have really supportive, amazing friends around me, and my family is pretty amazing. And eventually I kind of realized, and I came out to my folks extremely casually, and poor things, like, I don't think they understand, and I don't think they fully really get it, but they're very chill with me being who I am. And I'm also really lucky that my older sister has been a real advocate for like queer communities in general, especially her friends who have been queer. So she's done like a lot of work on them beforehand. So when I came out, I was like, wow, you guys look really like awful. Like, reject me now. So I had a really privileged experience that way. And I guess the last 1 to 2 years, I've been exploring my gender a bit more. Working in the queer sector, or the rainbow sector, has been really amazing for that, because I've been surrounded by queer people and so many more non-binary people especially, and that's really been really validating. And yeah, again, it's just like having access to a narrative that like makes me realize that it might be okay to be me and explore who me is. So yeah, I guess that from a broad strokes level, that's kind of how I feel. Also, I should say, please ask me any questions. If I use a word that y'all are like, what the hell does that mean? Or like, I say something, you're like, what did you mean by that? Please ask me. Please interrupt, like, you know, whether it makes it into the podcast or not. Like, I'm so happy to just answer questions. But yeah, so that's broad strokes how my experience. There's a lot more to it, but I'll pause there.
Yeah. Oh, it's so sweet that you had so much support coming out, you know.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people don't have that much support when,
absolutely,
you know, they come out to their family or friends. Yeah.
Absolutely. I think I am here largely, like, talking to you today because I am one of the few people that you will see out in public like this, and that is because I have a family that has stood by me, and that is, yeah, it is incredibly rare, unfortunately, and I think that's one of the hardest things, as we can't really progress on these things if we don't talk about it, but we can't talk about it until people are safe to come out.
Mm-hmm. And I love how like open you are with everything. You know, you're like, you're out there, you're putting your truth out there, and you're just, you're doing it, you know, unconditionally
because of people like you, the other people feel more inspired and motivated to show themselves out to family without thinking that their family's gonna say they're not gonna support or anything.
Yeah
Like your representation matters.
Y'all are too sweet and you'll make me cry, and this conversation will go nowhere. No, actually, that is very sweet. And I think I have a friend who is Māori, and they say that a lot, that to be queer is to be like a lighthouse. To be queer and actually, like, I guess visibly queer is to be a lighthouse for other people to look at and be reminded that they too can be who they are. And it's a real, like, beautiful metaphor that I kind of try to cling to every time I'm in a space and I'm like, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to... does my voice even matter in this conversation? It's like, well, like, it doesn't necessarily matter just because me, it matters just because we need more of us.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. And even if you're just like, you know, impacting just one person, that's still one more person, right?
Yeah.
Zara, we had a question from you.
Do you feel like you've been treated differently because of it?
Yeah. It's one of those things where, like, it's all intertwined for me. I think for a lot of people who grow up and they know, like, a lot of people know they're queer when they're really young. And that might have a really different kind of impact on how they get treated, because they have to navigate that whole thing of, do I tell people, do I not tell people? Where I was quite lucky with, I guess I started to understand my identity when I was old enough and to have the kind of space both from my family and also like where the friends I could choose and the environments I could choose to like be in. So that when I was exploring these things, I like to do it a bit more safely. So I haven't been treated badly in that sense, but it's more like complicated when you look at the idea. Like, one of the reasons that probably was something I thought about so much later is when you grow up South Asian, right, you're not meant to be dating. You're not meant to be thinking about this stuff in the first place, right? like you're meant to be at home studying, getting good grades, contributing to the family. Like, what do you mean you have some kind of idea about your sexuality? Why are you even talking about the word? Like, oh my God,
where's this coming from?
Yeah. What? Yeah. Right? Like, sex is taboo in our societies. And that's not even just for young people. That's for our entire communities. Like, I can't even imagine a South Asian person who is a parent talking about sex as a topic. Relationships as a topic. That's what I say. Sex is one thing. Relationships, dating. Like, that's an impossible kind of thing to talk about, or even be normal. So how in that context would a young South Asian person navigate very normal, very human feelings like feeling attraction for someone, or having like their sexuality kind of awakened and have no place for that to be safe to talk about? I guess it's, to answer the question, it's just kind of hard because I'm like, I've not been treated any differently from other South Asian femmes growing up in that sense. But because I'm queer, what's happened is it feels like everything that a lot of my peers, especially like my Pākehā peers or like just people from other ethnicities have went through in high school. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of these kinds of ideas around dating and all that has kind of happened later for me. Mm-hmm. In saying that, there's also I think like racism is a big part of my understanding of myself and the world, and I really hope things have changed. Mm-hmm. Like, I really hope that kids these days are not having to kind of deal with the stereotypes and the feelings that I did. But like, for me, I think about how I grew up in really white schools. Uh-huh. So for me, I felt like I was kind of like not in the same category of like girl as the white girls, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm kind of in a category on my own with the one or two other brown girls that would be there. And we were different. We weren't like a romantic option in the first place for the guys in our class. Like, you know, there's all of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I remember like this kind of like thinking came from people who I was really good friends with as well. It was really subtle. And I was like, it's so hard and confusing because like if people you're friends with and love you can see that you're like different and a bit lesser, then you're not going to really, you're going to take that as the truth, right? Like if someone was kind of being overtly mean to you, you'd be like, oh, okay, that person's just a horrible person. And it's like, oh, no, like my friends feel like I'm different. So like I must be.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm.
Especially
and that
a young person.
Kind of had a, absolutely. And I think that was quite challenging in terms of navigating a lot of things. Dating is a nightmare. When your self-esteem has been impacted as a kid that badly, you know. And that would be hard for anyone. But, you know, then when you're queer, like I'm thinking about dating. I'll tell you all a fun story of going on a date with a South Asian woman as a South Asian fan myself. I don't know if I've ever met a South Asian woman who's not like pretty anxious.
So, me neither.
Picture this, like I go there with my flowers in tow. Aww. And I literally show up in full of flowers because we've gone on like a few dates and then not talked for a bit, and I just kept thinking about her and I was like, she's just amazing and so smart and pretty and I want to give her flowers, so I'm going to.
That's so sweet.
Plausible deniability. I was like, oh, like they can be like, congratulations on like this thing that happened in your life, flowers. But like I did show up there. We had a beautiful dinner. We had dessert afterwards. We were chatting. It was amazing. And at the end of the date, she was like, okay, I'm going to hang out with my boyfriend now.
What?
It turned out in her head, this was not a date.
Oh.
This was two friends hanging out. And I thought it was a date. And I can't tell you how ridiculous.
Oh my god. That's crazy. Like,
if we unpack that a little, it kind of makes sense because we're both these like South Asian femmes. We're a little bit anxious. We're really friendly to one another, but we don't know how to flirt with one another. There's no examples out there. Like, I bought flowers. I thought that was pretty obvious, but girls bring flowers to each other sometimes, you know? Like, that's kind of a wholesome thing to do with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
How do you figure out who makes the first move or something like that when you're both taught that you shouldn't even be thinking about dating anybody ever until you're like 25 and you're ready to get married and have kids, right?
Straight to marriage, like, and then kids.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So it's kind of like, it's just, it's confusing. And then on the other hand, like, I guess as a bisexual person, like for me, I know I am attracted to men as well. But something that a lot of people face is something called compulsory heterosexuality. I don't know if you guys have heard this term before. But basically, it's this really powerful societal pressure where, like, people feel like they have to be heterosexual. They must be heterosexual, right? Like, I must be attracted to this guy, even if I'm not, because, like, why wouldn't I be? Like, of course, I have kind of, like, invented this crush on this guy because otherwise, what does that leave me with? Like, a crush on nobody? A crush on a woman? Like, of course not.
That's such an odd thing.
It absolutely, and it's really powerful. I was thinking, a lot of you guys have already brought up amazing examples about like how gender roles get taught to us in our societies, right? Like when you go to the gathering and or someone's over for chai, the men sit in the lounge and they chat and the women are in the kitchen, right? And they don't really talk to one another and it's really strict and it's like, that's how things work. And then you watch a movie and you're seeing two people interact, it's like the male pursuing a woman and the woman is meant to act shy and coy and never show that she's interested, right?
Yes, very demure. So,
absolutely. So, you know, we learn a lot of these things, and when we don't have the representation of these other ways of being in the world, when you're trying to live your life, you're like, oh my gosh, how do I do this?
Like, and that's actually such a good way of like explaining how that, you know, that sort of sorry, what was it called? What was it?
Heterosexuality.
Compulsory heterosexuality. It's the idea that it is like necessary to be heterosexual.
Yeah, and that, and you, like, you tied it in such a good way that we saw, like, you know, how actually that how we're taught that it's so normal to just, you know, be in a heteronormative kind of relationship that we just, you know, it just comes to us, like, unconsciously, I guess.
Yeah, going off of that, what advice do you have for young South Asians who are struggling with their queer identity?
Oh, so many things. Sorry, that's for queer listeners?
Sorry?
Or
yes.
That was, so,
So just advice you have for, like, young South Asians who are sort of, like, you know, thinking or wondering just, like, if they're queer or not, or, you know, how to explore that sort of.
I just want them to know that they are valid just as they are. Like, who they are in all the different aspects of it, whether it's their gender, sexuality, ethnicity, but literally all the other things that make us who we are, right? All of that is natural and beautiful, and there's nothing wrong with them. So I guess first and foremost, there's that, you know, and that nobody actually gets to decide who you are except for you. And I think, as y'all have all mentioned, like, being South Asian and being queer, is totally fine and valid. And, you know, we've always been here and we always will be, like, in our history. Just sometimes we don't have those stories clearly recorded, for us to go back to, and maybe we don't have the language, but gosh, like, we're such a diverse people with such long histories, and we've always been here. I was also going to say two other really big pieces of advice I have around the idea that, as much as queerness is extremely powerful, and I genuinely think is, like, one of the most beautiful ways we can push society forward, because it forces us to kind of look at the boxes we're putting ourselves in, whether we're queer or not. At the same time, queerness, it is such a personal journey with all its individual aspects, and it's okay that it is a fluid, confusing, experimental journey. So people don't have to know every single aspect about their identity to be valid. You know, I want all queer people, all people who are questioning, all cis straight people as well, cisgender straight people, that is, to know that it's okay to explore, and you don't have to share that journey with anyone you don't want to. It doesn't make you any less valid if you do or do not. You know, like, all labels are shorthand words, and they're not going to capture the full breadth of your experience, and that's okay. So you can try things on and take them off, and, you know, think of it as, like, magnets on a fridge rather than, like, a label you're putting on something permanently, right? It's not a permanent marker. Like, you can choose.
Yeah, that's such a good way to put it.
Yeah, that's such a good analogy.
I'm glad, y'all. I was gonna say I would hope that I would have some ways to think about this, given I worked in the sector for a while. But, like, I'm really in saying that, like, when I was thinking about what I wanted to say to you all, I actually still haven't had the opportunity to talk about this stuff that much, because unfortunately the sector is very dominated by white voices, and the resources and stuff aren't necessarily there, so it's really nice to know that y'all think
But no, like, I think just you coming on and just you sharing your experiences as a brown queer person is, like, already more than enough for us to, you know, open that space for people. But just going off that, you know, like, you just gave us advice for, you know, South Asians who might be, you know, questioning their identities and whatnot. What would you do, or what advice would you give to everyone else who just wants to be better allies to, like, our queer friends or our community members or things like that?
Yeah, awesome. Awesome question. This is amazing. This kind of question is, again, not to sound dramatic, but it is revolutionary, because I really think the power of friendship and community and showing up for one another in love is how we build a better world. Like, that is it. Like, that is really, like, if we learn to care about each other in ways that, like, work for one another, that's end game. Mm-hmm. So the first thing, and first and foremost, like, genuinely, like, just showing up for your friends like any good friend would for in any other way. So, you know, ask about their crushes. You know, if they're getting ready to, like, go somewhere and they're worried they might see their crush, like, help them with their outfit. If they're trans and they're exploring names, or they're exploring you know, different, like, ways of presenting their gender, like, help them out with it, like, brainstorm mm-hmm. with them. But also, like, if they're struggling, it's the same as if your friend was going through anything else in some ways, in that what they want is for their friend to listen to them, to support them how they want to be supported. Like, you know, they don't want a friend who's going to come and try explain their feelings to them. They want someone who's going to sit with them and validate their feelings. And, like, I think that is, like, a really important thing mm-hmm. I've learned in all friendships, is being able to sit with someone and say, hey, like, I'm not going to tell you how to feel. You tell me, like, how you feel, how you understand this experience, and I'm going to sit here and be there with you through that. Mm-hmm. Like, that is such a powerful gift you can give someone. And I'm not saying, like, sit there and then let them beat themselves up and, like, don't, like, correct them.
Yeah.
Stuff about themselves is bad. Like, but yeah. Being able to be like, hey, I can see how complex, like, life can be and how much stuff you're going through, that, like, maybe that's the kind of conclusion you're drawing. Mm-hmm. But I need you to know, as your friend, that's not how I see it.
Aww.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, that
yeah.
can be a really helpful thing. In terms of, like, the fact that your friend is queer, in terms of specific things that you can do to be supportive for them, mm-hmm. is, like, it's my friend, but, like, you know, your family members as well.
Yeah.
As I said, like, I feel like sometimes the journey can be quite lonely, and there's so much that you might need to learn, and unfortunately, both in our families, but also, like, you know, in schools and stuff, sometimes the education's not fully giving you all the information that you'd need as a queer person. Unfortunately, that's, like, one of the big barriers we have yeah. to queer people having good health in this country. Mm-hmm. So, in saying that, there's a lot of resources online. So what can be really helpful is if you learn along with your friend. So, you know, don't make them teach you everything. Go look online. Right? Like, yeah. Inside Out, Rainbow Youth, Gender Minorities, mm-hmm. Aotearoa, these are some awesome national organizations that you can literally just go do, like, a 101, like, little quiz thing, and you'll learn some stuff about the language, and, you know, you can then, like, support your friend better because you're not like, oh my gosh, I don't even know what that word even means, and
yeah.
that kind of stuff. Adhikar Aotearoa is an awesome organization that is relatively new, and they put out an amazing report. I'm not saying go read a massive report. But, like, you know, organizations like them are working to support queer South Asians, and hopefully we'll be putting out more resources that are specific for our community. So always just, like, keeping an eye out on that
yeah.
stuff.
Just educating ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And again, like, as we said, like, sex is in general and mm-hmm. relationships are such a taboo in our communities that, like, you know, you can learn a lot yourself and be open-minded when you're being open-minded like that. Language. So, really important with language, like, make sure you use the pronouns, name, and labels about their identity that that the person in your life that you care about wants mm-hmm. you to. So, it's best to not make assumptions. Don't, like, be like, oh, well, they want to use these pronouns, so this must be their gender. Like,
yeah.
ask them, you know, and mm-hmm. context matters as well. Like, sometimes we're a lot more keen to be ourselves in, like, a certain context with our friends, but, you know, we're not going to want to be that at auntie's house or, like,
yeah.
in class, maybe. So sometimes your friend might ask you to use a different name in a different context. So if you can be flexible to that, that would be really amazing. Mm-hmm. But definitely, like, you know, you're a human, and there will be times where you might make mistakes, and that's totally okay. Like, that's fine. We all make mistakes. Just being able to, like, apologize, tell your friend that you value that relationship and you want to learn more, and, you know, rather than getting, like, defensive about it, just being like, yeah, I want to do better for you and I want to learn, mm-hmm. that's huge. That's amazing. Knowing that your friend is trying and that they're a safe person that you can go to makes all the difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I realize we're running out of time. I just say one maybe last thing is also just like exploring.